Welcome to the Ubuntu UK podcast. It's season 7, episode 37, and it's Wednesday the 10th of December, and we're going to discuss what's been happening in the news and in the Ubuntu community. If you're listening live, you can send us messages using the chat thing on the website and in the #UUPC IRC channel. I'm Laura. Yes, it's me running the desk again. And with me are Tony.
Hello.
Alan.
Hello.
And Mark.
Hello.
We get individual introductions this time around, do we?
Yes.
Yeah. I can't actually reach the sliders at the same time as the microphone.
Okay.
Need longer arms, or we need a slider stick.
Slider stick, yeah.
You can poke them with. Yeah. How is everyone?
Yeah, quite full of mince pie.
Mince pie, yes. And brandy butter.
Yes, yeah. A lot of Christmas extravaganza.
Yeah.
You wouldn't
starting
know it.
Well.
Yeah, it's going fantastically.
Yes. I can hear some snow, I think.
Yeah, the snow is falling very loudly on your microphone, Mark.
We need some of those lasers that the railway have got for burning all the snow off of our lines.
Oh, is that what they have?
Yeah, they're getting lasers.
Lasers.
I'm not even kidding. I thought everyone knew this.
No.
No?
No, they're going to have lasers pointing at the railway so that it burns all the snow in the leaves
all
and stuff.
Time.
No.
Trains.
I don't think so. Only when there's stuff that needs burning. Did I dream this?
That'd be awesome.
Seriously.
It's a great idea. Maybe it's your prediction for the year.
Yeah, that'd be it.
I'm Googling it. Lasers on trains.
Seriously, Google...
Is it not
freaking
lasers on
laser
sharks?
Beams on trains, and you'll find it.
Yeah. Okay, Google is doing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dutch trains get lasers.
That's it. Dutch, the crazy Dutch. I knew it would be them.
What have they been smoking?
Right.
Why don't we have lasers on our trains?
Well, exactly.
We'll let them see if it works.
Oh, yeah, right.
As long as they don't melt the rails.
Well, yes. I don't think they have hills, do they? So it might be easier for them.
What?
Again, everyone looks at me as if I've said something bizarre.
How do hills make a difference to lasers?
Well, you know, if you go up a hill, your laser's no longer pointed down, it's pointing straight ahead. Like when you go around a corner and your headlights are pointing at the car in front.
Oh, well, no, if it's attached to the
train. Lasers are pointing forwards on the train rather than down at the track.
No, but if you go... it's
pointing at an angle down.
It's physics.
No matter. Yes.
Mark, it's physics.
Right.
I don't think it's a problem.
I think we have too much brandy butter.
Yeah, or not enough.
So, anyway, shall we get on with the news?
Yes.
Yes. It's time for the news, and we have a huge helping of crowdfunding news first up this time. The Sailfish tablet from Jolla has reached $1.8 million at the end of their campaign. It finished today, I think. In fact,
yesterday, I think.
Yesterday,
yes,
right. Okay. Or yesterday, 2 days ago, if you're listening to
download. Or yesterday, a week ago.
Depending on when you're listening. So, yes, this was a tablet that was getting quite a lot of publicity. Mm. They were looking for...
300,000, I think.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yes.
And, and they got it, and then some.
Yeah.
So that'll be...
Yeah, they hit their goal pretty quickly
in the
timeline, and then it just kept clocking up and clocking up. So, yeah it looks like they're going to make a tablet.
Cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. And Purism have kicked off a funding drive for a fully free software laptop, which is not actually fully free software.
how did I guess? Imagine my surprise.
Let me guess. Proprietary wireless drivers and...
I think they're mostly free software, like up and down the stack, but there's a couple of bits that they haven't quite got full free software on. And I think there's something to do with the Intel... something Intel driver or firmware for the BIOS that's not completely free. But interestingly, in their hardware specs of the device, you'd expect it to all be, you know, fully Intel top to bottom. It's actually an NVIDIA GPU in the thing, which is kind of surprising for a surprising choice that someone would make for making a completely free software laptop.
But you can get free software drivers for NVIDIA graphics cards?
Well, you can, but as I understand it, there's still binary bits inside there that get loaded into the processor in the GPU.
Right, yes.
So even though the driver is
has a binary blob of firmware, yes.
Yeah, there's some other bits that load in the microcode of the GPU or something like that anyway. But yeah, they're fully upfront about this, and they've said on their... on their crowd supply page. It's not Indiegogo or Kickstarter or anything. It's
right.
A website called Crowd Supply. They've listed, you know, these are the things that are not free about it. I mean, yeah. It's better than most machines. Oh, you know? It's more free than most.
But Richard Stallman still wouldn't be happy with it.
No, I don't think he would. Well, I think they're aiming to get FSF approval for it.
Right.
So they can say, you know, this is a proper free software device. And, you know, it's quite expensive. It's a nice-looking machine.
Yeah.
You know, it looks like, you know, the kind of modern Ultrabook style device. So it's a desirable machine. It doesn't look like, you know, the Budgie Labs.
Yeah,
you know,
it's actually like something which you might want to buy because it's a nice laptop, not just because you're a Freedom
not just the
Crusader.
Ethics. Exactly. Yes. So it's an interesting device, and yeah, we'll keep an eye on it. But it's not looking great. They haven't raised a huge amount yet, and we'll keep an eye on it. I mean, the problem is that it costs a lot to, you know, spin up all the manufacturing to make a lot of these machines and make it financially viable. So good luck to them.
There's also the Ubu tab.
The what?
The Ubu tab, a
Ubuntu tablet.
Yeah, you guessed it.
Yeah, this is a bit weird. It's got a hard drive in it.
Clue is in the name.
What is it?
It's a terabyte of storage in it.
Apparently
like
so.
A worry one.
A worry one. Yeah, spinning Rust or SSD if you want one.
But shouldn't it surely in a tablet just be SSD?
Or flash, or some kind of storage system that isn't spinning Rust or anything like that. Yes, that would be ideal, but they're going a kind of different direction in the same way. Well, you know, people have had laptops and been carrying those around for a long time that have spinning Rust in them. So
yeah, but we don't like that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, it's just an option. You know,
yeah,
I mean, it's called the Ubuntu tablet for media lovers.
Yeah, I was going to say because I can see why you'd want a lot of storage if you're watching loads of video.
Right. I mean,
in four.
What's a bit strange is, you know, these days people don't tend to carry around huge amounts of media. I don't know if that's because, you know, on your phone, you don't generally have like 20 episodes of some program.
No.
You probably would use Netflix or YouTube or Hulu.
Amazon
Instant Video or something. You know, people tend to be streaming these days rather than carrying around a terabyte of videos.
Unless you're traveling.
Yeah, if you're traveling. Or maybe, you know, there are certain niche cases where this would be useful. But it's come under a lot of criticism, this Ubu tablet, because it doesn't look like it's come from anyone who's ever made one of these before. They've partnered with a hardware company, and the designs look a little bit pie in the sky. You know, it's 7 millimeters thin and almost edge to edge with near no bezel around the edge. I mean, it's a unicorn of a tablet. You know, you would want one, but they probably don't exist.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is a Kickstarter.
It's on Indiegogo. I can't remember how much were they asking for. They're asking for not a ridiculously unreasonable. $36,000, right? So how on earth can they possibly fund something with $36,000? They're over halfway.
Is that per tablet?
They're over halfway, and they've got halfway through their campaign. So, you know, by the usual measure of how these things go, probably not going to hit it.
Oh, well.
Okay, and the Imp tiny home computers out there as well?
Yeah, and that one didn't hit the target. Oh, it's an Odroid in a nice case, basically.
What's Odroid?
Odroid?
It's a small ARM device.
Right, okay. Okay, next up in the news. Alan, what have we got?
CoreOS have announced Rocket, which
okay.
I'm not entirely sure what this is all about, but the CoreOS project have announced a thing called Rocket, and everyone said, yeah, that looks good, that's interesting.
Something to do with containers.
Yeah, it looks like it competes with Docker, and then Docker came back with their thoughts on what Rocket was and how it probably wasn't good enough. I don't know.
I think I saw that Rocket said that they weren't trying to replace Docker, they were trying to replace the containerized part of Docker, which to me sounds like Docker,
but I think they're saying that Docker is now more than just a container. It's now a platform with all sorts of other stuff going on.
Everything's a platform.
Yes.
Maybe you can write apps.
Framework,
for it.
Platform, container, cloud.
Yes. Yeah.
It's all about synergy.
Yes. Interesting.
Good stuff. Also, Wire has been announced. And Wire is a new chat platform from the people who made Skype.
Okay.
People who sold Skype and used
on. People who made it and then sold it, made loads of money, now make another one.
Right.
Yeah.
So these are people who sold Skype to
eBay and then Microsoft bought it from eBay, didn't they?
Right. So it's a new, it's quite pretty. It's quite nice, but you know, it's yet another chat client.
Is it compatible with anything else?
Don't think so.
Ah.
Didn't we have some sort of standard that all of these could use to interoperate at one point?
Yeah, everyone used MSN.
ICQ for the win.
What?
1131 7622 is my ICQ number.
If you want to get in touch with Alan.
Yep, 1131 7622
Do you still use that?
I actually signed up for a forum. I can't remember what it was. Oh, it was a Beyond Pod forum,
right?
For the Android Podcatcher application. I wanted to sign up to their forum to have a discussion. And as I signed up, it's a V-Bulletin forum, and it was asking me, you know, what's your name? Where are you from? What time zone are you in? What's your ICQ number?
Really?
That's why the number came to my head, because I signed up for this forum the other day. And
it's like knowing the children's BBC phone number off by heart, that, isn't it?
Yes.
01811.
No, that's way newer.
That's Live and Kicking.
Yeah, Live and Kicking, yeah.
I can't remember what was going on.
01811 8055.
No, it was before 01811. Because it was 01 if you live outside of London, but there wasn't an 81 after it.
No. 01 was the original.
Yeah.
811 8055 was the original. Yeah. Then it went 071 or 081 8188.
That's right, yeah.
Oh, in other news,
God.
Firefox have announced Hello, another new web chat platform.
Oh.
But this one's based on WebRTC, so there is actually some sort of interoperable standard behind it.
Yes, I know about WebRTC.
So how does this work? This is built into Firefox, isn't it?
Yeah, it's it is.
And uses WebSockets.
It does, WebRTC and all that lark. Mm. And the idea is you're in Firefox and you just press a button and then send someone a link and you can then chat to each other, a bit like Google Hangout or...
There's sites like this already, like talky.io, where you go there and you say, give me a link, and you both go to the same link and it's a WebRTC page, but this is sort of a bit more sort of built in, like it's actually a feature of Firefox and uses their own site to do it.
Although they rolled it out slowly initially because I don't think they wanted to flood their server with everyone who uses Firefox all doing video calls at the same time on the first day.
I tried it on Firefox or Android and it didn't work.
That's a shame.
Which is a shame.
I haven't actually used it yet. All I do is like click the button to open a chat, but I've got nobody to chat with because I don't know any other Firefox users.
But presumably their main motivation for doing this is because then they've got this sort of Google Hangouts type, FaceTime type feature in Firefox OS.
Yes.
Yes, that would make sense, yes.
Cool. Yes. And Mark's new phone provider have made some announcements.
My personal phone provider.
Yes, you switched to OnePlus One, didn't you?
I switched to OnePlus One. I bought a OnePlus One phone, yes.
Defected.
Yes, you switched from Nexus to OnePlus
One. I left my Nexus on a bus and bought a OnePlus One to replace it. Yes, that's what I did.
Yeah.
I switched to Sony and discovered that they're not that secure now.
Oh, yeah. Don't. More on that in a minute. the people who make the OnePlus have wrote a blog post because they're imminently going to launch the OnePlus in India, a new market for them,
cool.
In India. And lots of people in India got very excited by the opportunity to have a Sanogen mod supported.
Loads of people on the OnePlus forums who are like gagging for it in India.
Yeah, and they also want the phone, and it was galloping over the hill.
leave it where it was.
Anyway, they wrote this blog post to say that they're really sorry, but they can't have a supported Cyanogen mod build in India because Cyanogen Inc., the people behind Cyanogen, like the software build, have struck a deal with an Indian phone company, an exclusivity deal. So Cyanogen is only available and supported on a specific make of phone in India, and that's not the OnePlus. So that really annoyed quite a few people and thought, well, why would Cyanogen do such a thing? And
why would they? I thought they were like a community thing.
Financial. Well, no, but they've got VC funding now, so they're actually trying to make it into
money.
A business. I guess they're doing like a trademark licensing thing where if you want a phone that says Cyanogen on it, you have to pay them a license fee, I guess.
Do people want that?
Yes. Yeah.
Cyanogen, Mark holds up phone with Cyanogen logo on the
Cyanogen
back.
Cyanogen has quite a brand recognition as a reputable port of AOSP. But okay. Then CyanogenMod replied and said, no, we're committed to our users, and basically didn't say you would get updates if you're in India, but if you bought a phone from elsewhere and took it to India, you'd probably get support, which seems a bit duff.
Yes. Yeah.
But yeah. Presumably people could buy OnePlus One and flash CyanogenMod onto it.
Yeah, you could, but you know, the whole point about this is...
the point of buying one with it on. Yes.
The point is you go to a store and you buy a phone and you shouldn't have to then replace the operating system because the people who supplied the phone don't support the operating system that's on there. That's
in
mental.
Your country.
Yeah, that's mental.
Cool. Well, good luck to everybody. Canonical has announced...
He's totally full of interest for that story.
Yeah. Oh, this next one he's really interested in. Tell us, Tony.
I don't have a OnePlus One phone. I don't have Cyanogen. I don't live in India.
You won't be buying a new phone anytime soon.
You're the best person to have on this podcast.
So Canonical and Data Foundry have announced that they are going to be doing business together. They're going to be providing private cloud instances.
Who or what is Data Foundry?
A big company that do cloud stuff.
Oh, right. One of those.
Cloud.
Right.
They're all the rage these days, I understand.
Yeah, everyone's got one.
Cloud hosting company providing
platforms.
Yes, it's like that old joke. How do you know someone's got a cloud? They tell you about it. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly that. Okay. So that's good stuff. If you're an enterprise user of Ubuntu.
In the cloud.
Yeah, in the cloud.
Mm. Your own cloud.
Yeah, but not own cloud, which is something different, isn't it, Mark?
Yes.
Moving on.
So HP have got a cool new laptop.
Ooh, what's cool about it?
I hadn't read it.
Fanless. It's what me and Tony, I think, we're both about to say at the same time.
Well, that actually is quite cool.
Yes.
It's a man,
although it might be a bit warm.
Mine's a bit warm and it's got a fan.
Yeah.
It's a MacBook Air-ish.
Ultrabook style.
Ultrabook
style.
Ultra thin, ultra light.
See, mine's ultra thin, ultra light and has a really noisy fan.
Mm. Right.
So this is an advantage. And it has, I think there's two specs of machine. There's one that's got a touch display and one that doesn't. And they've got quite high resolution screens, 2560 by 1440. Which is quite nice for a laptop.
It'll ship with Windows 8.1, Windows 7, Ubuntu, or FreeDOS 2.
Yes, this is there. They can't ship it without an operating system. Yeah.
And Windows 10 support is promised when that is available next year. So
it looks like a sweet machine.
Yeah, actually, that sounds really nice. Quite attractive.
And the fact that you can buy it with Ubuntu out of the box.
Yeah.
That's a winner right there. No, so I think that might be my next laptop, especially as it's got no fan.
Well, like there's a couple in this room of that laptop.
There's that fun.
And finally...
That didn't even deserve a tumbleweed, that didn't.
Finally, in security news, there's been a big Sony hack.
Yeah.
Who did this?
I don't know.
The North Koreans.
Yeah, the FBI said it's not the North Koreans.
Yeah, so there's this conjecture that because Sony are releasing a film about an interview with Kim Jong-un and it's full of myths about him, which the Korean people are apparently supposed to believe, that the North Koreans have got upset and decided to attack Sony.
But they're never going to watch it anyway.
But
they're not going to be able to access it, are they?
The stuff that they've hacked is not just, you know, they've hacked into a website and, you know, griefed a couple of websites. They've gone after everything. They've got wireless passwords,
internet,
people's social security numbers,
Brad Pitt's phone number.
Yeah, and their internal code names for various celebrities.
Yes. All the names that they used to book into hotels and things.
Yeah,
oh, really?
All that kind of stuff.
And emails.
Yeah.
Nice. They've got some internal email of some executive producer calling Angelina Jolie talentless, spoilt brat.
Wow. So it was all of these various myriad bits of information all stored in one place then?
No, I think
the passwords are in a folder called passwords.
I think they just had access for a while and it was never detected.
Oh, I see.
And so they were, there's these zip files available on torrent networks that, you know, contain all of this stuff. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
But yeah.
Okay.
Security fail, Sony.
That's the end of the news, I think.
Yes.
The Ubuntu podcast needs you. Yes, you. If you hear something that pleases, puzzles, or piques you, tweet us at UUPC or email podcast@ubuntu-uk.org. You can also talk to us on the telephone, Skype, Facebook, and Google+. Find links to all these places on our website, podcast.ubuntu-uk.org. And remember, if we don't hear from you, we might not have enough content. And that can only mean one thing. More quizzes.
And now it's time for the community news and events. And the first thing in the community news this week is Ubuntu Developer Tools. I guess I'm supposed to say is now UMake. But that's not what it says. Can somebody please explain this story to me?
In now UMake. Yeah, it's so we've mentioned this in the past. Didier Roche has been working on a tool that makes it easy for developers to get up and running and using Ubuntu as a development platform. And the first target using his Ubuntu Developer Tools Center or something, UDTC it was called, made it easy for you to install all the Android bits, the Android Developer Center, Eclipse and all that kind of stuff. And the name was always a temporary name.
Right.
And so he asked the community to help him name it.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little vote where we had a list of all the different names, and there were lots of interesting names in there. It was what someone suggested Ubuntu Studio as a name.
Uh-huh.
Yep. And loads of others that were based around Ubuntu and the word devel or develop or make or build or something like that. And the winner was Ubuntu Make.
It says UMake here.
Well, Ubuntu Make is the name of the project.
Right.
The command line tool is just UMake to make it nice and easy for you to type. You just do UMake, Android. And then it'll install the necessary bits so you can be an Android developer. It's really cool.
So is it just Android?
The first ones are Android, but he's got a big list on the code's hosted on GitHub.
Mm.
And he's got a wish list of things like SDKs and developer tools that people might want integrated with it. So, if you're a developer and you want a particular tool to be added, then you can go to GitHub and, mention it and let Didier know. And so long as it's possible for him to get hold of the install package and install it and it's, updated over the web or something like that, then you should be able to add it. Or you can contribute because it's the UMake is free software, so you could add support for whatever your favorite developer tool is. Mm. It's cool.
Sounds fun. Mark Shuttleworth has been making announcements again. He likes to do this every so often. So today he's been announcing something called Ubuntu Core Snappy.
Mm.
strange noise from Mr. Pope over there.
My microphone's broken.
This is kind of came out as part of the QEMU Advent calendar.
That's where you saw it first, was it?
No, I saw it when you mentioned it. an image was released today by the QEMU people, but also there's been a blog post and a video and some other news articles about it. So Ubuntu Core Snappy, dish the dirt.
So it's a cloud thing, so I don't know anything about it. It's
Mark.
I think we can just all fade out.
It's so they took some of the technologies that we use in the phone, like a read-only system image, and then on top of that, snappy packages that contain your application. So you can have in the cloud, you can deploy with Snappy very quickly and easily from the store, whatever applications you need to run on top of Ubuntu.
Say it again.
Snappy.
Snappy packages.
Snappy packages.
Again. Yeah.
No. I'm not your monkey. So the
sounds
idea.
It's like Docker.
Yeah. So it's a bit like kind of like Docker kind of thing, but it's had quite a good reception. People have been joining the hash Snappy channel on Freenode and downloading and playing with it. It's really
playing
cool.
with.
Snappy packages.
So is this like Click packages?
Similar.
Less snappy.
So Click packages is what we use on the phone. So on the phone you go and browse the Click store and install Click packages that are siloed from each other and contain your applications.
What's the Click store?
The Click store is the store that's on the phone.
Right.
The Ubuntu Software Center kind of thing,
one
that's on the phone.
Okay.
Because we on the phone we don't use Debian packages, we use Click packages, which are siloed applications.
But you can still use Debian packages on the Ubuntu Core Snappy.
Well, no, you wouldn't, because the idea is that the platform, the core, is a read-only image. You don't monkey with that. You add your applications on top of it. We look after that bit, and you can update that with a new image over the air.
Right.
But that won't adversely affect the applications that you've got running on top of it, which are Snappy packages.
Right. So you'd only use this if what you want to run on top of it is available as a Snappy package.
Yeah, but you can make your own Snappy packages.
Okay.
What's up with that? Yeah, you can make your own and add and submit them to the Snappy store.
Right. That's even better.
Right, okay. So
it's like Fisher Price, isn't it?
Thanks for that, Alan. We have an event.
How much brandy butter have you had?
Started before you arrived.
We have an event to tell you about.
Oh, yes.
Albert has emailed in to tell us about the 6th Egham Raspberry Jam on the 25th of...
sounds like a baking competition. The Egham Raspberry Jam.
I'm assuming it's the to do with the Raspberry Pi.
Indeed. If you continue reading, you'll find that out.
I will. It's on the 25th of January. Which is a Sunday, and that's obviously, hopefully, 2015. And it is described by Albert as an event for people doing interesting things with the Raspberry Pi or want to learn how to do interesting things with the Raspberry Pi. In the past, we've had robot arms, RISC-OS-controlled model trains, media centres, scratch-controlling scalextric cars, and Python programming workshops. It's free to attend. All people have to do is register on the Eventbrite page so that we know the numbers. Mm. There's a link to the Eventbrite page, which we will try to remember to include in the show notes. So, yes.
Yeah. And they also have it's a bunch of people from the Surrey and Hampshire Hackspace. Usually turn up to these Raspberry Jams in Egham. And if you're interested in finding more about Surrey and Hampshire Hackspace, then that's a good place to find out, because a lot of them usually turn up there.
Cool.
And that's all for episode 37, and we'll be back next week when we'll be discussing the predictions that we made last year for this year and the predictions we're going to make this year for next year.
It's the last episode of the season. It is.
And we'll also have an interview with Michael Hall about the Ubuntu Incubator.
Yes.
Yes.
Ah, excellent. Well, yeah. I can't wait to hear that episode.
Well, we should probably finish one first.
You should probably stick around. Maybe you'll hear it.
Yes.
Yeah, if you're listening live, stick around. If not, we'll see you next week. Cheerio.
Bye. Bye.